I don't know about you, but making comparisons is something which we do without even thinking about it every day. I mean, from a child, what did we say? My dad's bigger than your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. Or it may have been, even today, comparing the merits. Well, we had Liverpool and Man United, but of course we could have had Cardiff City and Swansea. No contest. Or to weather, for instance, I don't know, you know, you go around the shops and weather, am I going to get a 50-inch flat screen or is it going to be a 40-inch flat screen to go on the wall in the lounge or whatever it might be? Yeah? And of course, comparisons are something that are very topical right now because on our TVs, of course, I hope, Matt, help. We're doomed. I would like to show this slide, so I mean, I hope this we get there. I'm sorry, folks. Let's see if we get that. Yes. That's why I wanted to get that up. The comparison. Thank you, Matt. Who's greater than who? What a week it's been, or what a 2 weeks it's been, yeah? And, of course, comparisons are being made. Who ever thought that Nick Clegg would sort of come to the fore in the way that he is? I'm sorry I haven't got a Clyde guy there at the moment, but we have, you know, these comparisons being made about who's going to make it. And, again, when we make comparisons, what are we making them on? Is it based on looks? Is it based on class? Is it based on achievements? Is it based on fine words? Is it based on age or future prospects or what they'll do for us or whatever? You know, it's not so easy to know when we speak about greatness in that respect. Of course, you could have greatness by name. And if you looked at our topic today of Adam and Jesus, in fact, you will see that out of the top 1,000 names, Adam, according to what I found on the internet, was 69th in the popularity of names. Now, I don't know too many people called Adam today, to be honest with you. But anyway, apparently, maybe the survey, well, it said 2006 there, so it can't be too far out of date. The name Jesus is 129th. Now, you might be even surprised at that, 129th. But, of course, we have Hispanic countries where Jesus actually is quite popular as a name. And so you see this trend, as it were, over the years, where there's a fairly flat trend, it seems. Now, I thought also I put, as a bit of a, you know, fun, I put the name Douglas in, which, by the way, means Amazon, dark waters. You know? And just in the popularity stakes, I just wondered where I might stand. I feel quite deflated now. Because over the years, it seems my name has gone down in popularity. There's a surprise. I wouldn't admit, I don't think I would inflict my name on any child of mine. I never did. Although, sorry, I did, actually. I gave them a middle name, one of them, just for posterity's sake. So, greater than by name, by deed, by all those things I mentioned? No. Or maybe we see this one. And those of us old enough will remember his statement. I am the greatest! Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay, whatever you like to call him. And of course he made his claims as well, and maybe some might say they were backed up by his actions in terms of his boxing skill over the years. But who knows in the big scale of history. You see, the list of comparisons we might make is endless and personal. In the workplace we make comparisons, I guess, day by day on the ability of individuals, those we trust, those we're not so trustful of, how capable they are. And you know, people do it of me, people will do it of you as well. People will make comparisons. And the result of the many comparisons that we make is that we also start to make choices from those comparisons. Where to go? Who to follow? Who to believe? And this series that we're following is, again, is about making comparisons and therefore choices. Comparisons of Jesus being greater than. And each time we're going to make this comparison against the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will come as no surprise to you that we know the outcome before we begin. You see, Jesus Christ is greater than anyone else. Following Jesus Christ is greater than anything else. He's better. He's more satisfying. He's more demanding, more loving, more caring, more worthy of our attention and affection than anyone or anything else. And the Bible teaches all of these attributes. And so we're going to compare Jesus with Adam and see that they are both called this Son of God. Only the way of Jesus was and is perfect and deserving of our following. We'll see that Jesus was referred to as the second Adam, thereby leading to comparisons with this first Adam, who, unfortunately, the first Adam fell at that first hurdle called sin. And when we look at the other characters in the coming weeks, we'll make comparisons. And again, I remind you in advance, I'll say, only the way of Jesus leads to true fulfillment in life. Only the way of Jesus leads to eternal life. Only Jesus is really worth following. And I quite understand it's quite possible that you may not accept what I say today, or that others say in the coming weeks, about the superiority of Jesus over Adam. And if that's the case, that's your prerogative, I guess, in which case you will continue to follow the way of the first Adam, which the Bible tells us led to a lack of fulfillment, and in fact an eternity outside of God's presence, i.e. eternal death. And these are strong words which, you know, from a friendly church, you might say, we preach from the pulpit, but this is faithful to God's word. So what do we know about Adam? Well, let's have a look. He was, as we said already, called the Son of God. It shows the genealogy of Joseph. I tried to read it right the way through. And I have to say, in the NIV, it does say the Son of God, but I do take Matt's point in terms of there being a Son of God and Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, as we read there. So we read that, and then we have passages in Genesis chapter 1. And I'll read them to you, if I may, just very briefly. It won't take a few moments, because there's not a lot there, in some respects. But in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." And then it goes on to say, Adam and Eve, in chapter 2, verse 4, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground. He made trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for the food. In the middle of the eye of the garden there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And so it speaks on then later about Eve being formed, "But for Adam no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken from the man and brought her to the man." It's interesting, that passage will probably be quoted tomorrow at the wedding we see here. So we see Adam, that when God created man, he made him in, it says, the likeness of God. God's nature, perfect. No sin. And if you went to the Vatican, you'll see there this picture of the creation of Adam in the Sistine Chapel. I've seen it. Very dark. You're not allowed to take photographs in there. So I don't know how this one came off. But anyway, you're not allowed to take photos in there. And in fact, if you noticed, the image of God reaching out to Adam, and I put a strategically placed star there, you'll see there the outline, which actually is a brain. The outline of a bit round God is a brain. It's the mind of God reaching out towards towards Adam and connecting with him. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son, it says, in his own likeness, in his own image. Now there's a distinct difference there, and I just want to bring it out to you, because in that intervening period, Adam had sinned. And so, he had fallen out of favor, not out of favor, but he really spoiled his relationship that he had with God. And Adam had other sons and daughters, and he lived 930 years, and then he died. And thereafter, the mention of Adam in the Bible is only really to look back at the origins of mankind and the first act of disobedience that changed the world forever. Rarely has one man got so much bad press for doing something wrong. And when you think there was a woman and a snake egging him on, you might think it's unfair. But immediately in this, we see the consequence of sin to all involved parties. The serpent, speaking of Satan, a curse to be always at enmity with God and man. The woman, subject to, it says, the pain of childbirth. And in fact, subjection to man. That's a contentious one. The man speaks of lifelong toil. Sin has its consequences. And we really need to understand that. So we see in Adam there that he was created by God from dust. His name means earth or man simply. He was tempted, and as we saw, he gave into it. Through Adam, therefore, sin entered the world. We read in there that he tried to hide from God, to cover it up. And he died at the age of 930 years. So what about Jesus? Well, what we read about Jesus is he wasn't created. He was from heaven. He was with God from the beginning. No beginning, no end. Humanly speaking, a totally wild concept, shall we say, to get your head round. But that is what we believe the Bible teaches us. His name means the Lord is salvation. We read through the New Testament that he was tempted. I think we covered that not so long ago in family service. He was tempted, but without sin. He never sinned. We read through his death on the cross that sins can be forgiven. He didn't try to hide from God. He was always about his Father's business. He did what he came, his mission was to do. And although he died physically, we also know and believe that he rose from the dead. And he lives forever. So there's a comparison. Greater than? Which one would you choose? Can you see where the comparison here of how much greater Jesus is than that first Adam? And when we speak about this title, the Son of God, about Jesus, who says so? Who says he's the Son of God, anyway? Well, God said, "This is my Son whom I love," he says in Matthew 3, verse 17. Okay, you might say Jesus would say it of himself, wouldn't he? But yes, he did. He referred to God as his Father. "I and my Father are one," he said. Jesus himself proclaimed himself as the Son of God. John the Baptist, when he was baptized, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He spoke of him as the Son of God. Even devils, demons, disciples, and angels called Jesus the Son of God. The Son of God. For the sake of time, I can't go through them each one now. I could read those passages to you. I'll find them there in Matthew, in those passages, if you'd like to read for yourself. And then, one which perhaps we can relate to, when we know that Easter story so well, when we know how Jesus died on that cross of Calvary, we see that Roman centurion at the foot of the cross gazing upon him and saying, "Surely he was the Son of God." A man who had no real reason to come to that conclusion. except what he saw. So Jesus, the Son of God. We haven't got time to go through this slide either. But you know, if we did, and I can give people a copy if they'd like to afterwards, we see this comparison between the first Adam and the last Adam. The Bible speaks about Jesus as the last Adam. And you see there the comparison between what Adam brought into the world, as it were, and what Jesus brought into the world. One brought sin and death. Another brought righteousness and life. Another brought disobedience. Jesus was obedient to death, even the death on a cross. And we see there about the law of God and all its rigors versus the grace of God that Jesus brought for us. So we have Jesus again, greater as the last Adam than the first Adam. And then there's our classic passage in the New Testament as well. When Jesus was gathering around his disciples and they were having this sort of chat about, you know, who's the greatest? And then Jesus asked that question, well, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, who'd been around Jesus physically, yes, and you and I haven't had that privilege of being around Jesus physically, yet nevertheless, there are many here, including myself, who have come to that same conclusion. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We've come to know that for ourselves in a personal way and trusted him through faith that he died for me, that he forgave my sin, that he rose from the dead, and that I can have a daily living relationship with him. And that's a confession we want all who come to this church, in fact all in this parish and to the uttermost parts of the earth, we want people to know this themselves too, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is greater than anybody else. I have to ask that question, who, just come over a bit, who do you believe Jesus is? Who do you believe? You have to answer that question for yourself at some point. And it's not just one person, not one just the writer in the New Testament who recorded this. You'll find it in three of the Gospels, the same discourse, as it were, and the same conclusion coming through. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Christ of God. Jesus, by his life, through his deity, showed himself that he was greater than anybody else. And there was that confession of faith and confession of belief by those who are around him. And the challenge really is, what's your confession this morning? Do you have that same confession regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you like those where we saw in that video? Oh, he was a good guy. Yeah, he lived 2,000 years ago, but that was then and this is now. And you might go through that sort of mindset. No. The Bible is living today. Jesus is living today. And we can have that relationship with him. Time's just about gone. I asked the question there, who do you believe Jesus is? But you know, and I close with this, for those who have already made a confession of faith, there are consequences. And dear friend, if you're not yet a Christian and you think about it, I have to say to you, it is not for the weak-stomached. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is a challenging life. Because Jesus, in the three passages where this is recorded in the New Testament, immediately afterwards, says these words. Jesus takes this up with his disciples. You say, I'm the Christ? Well, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A life of service, a life of commitment, not necessarily an easy life. But the rewards, whoever wants to save his life must lose it. Lose it, give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does lose his life, for me, will save it. And then in this materialistic world in which we live, what a final What a challenging question to finish up with. What good is it for a man or woman to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? We can be so busy chasing ambition, chasing material things, chasing whatever. But Jesus says to us, what's the point if we lose our grip, our opportunity of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, greater than Adam? So my prayer is really, as we close, I guess, that you'll consider these things, and as in different ways we've had Jesus presented to us as greater than any other person, past, present, and I can confidently say future, that you'll put your trust in him and come to know him. And if you do know him, then again be challenged to follow him more closely in the days that lie ahead. May God bless you. Let's just close in prayer.